Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are focused on the holiday season in Bible studies for Christmas. In this session, we'll be looking at Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3, the mission of the Savior. He came with a mission. The prophets of the Old Testament and the apostles of the New Testament declared that the Messiah came into this world for a reason. Work was assigned to him even before the world was formed. And we don't need to be in the dark about his goals. Jesus Christ came to earth to do the will of God as our substitute. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 7. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure." And then I said, "Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God." And verse 10 of that same chapter tells us that by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So Jesus Christ came to earth to do the will of God as our substitute. He also came to earth to save his people from their sin. Matthew 1:21, when the angel explained to Joseph what had happened to Mary's pregnancy, a statement of purpose was given. "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So, Jesus came to earth to do the will of God as a substitute. He came to earth to save his people from their sins, and he came to earth to gather all that God has appointed to believe. John 10, verse 16, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. For them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." That amazing statement reminds us that God's salvation is 100% accomplished by him. He knows his sheep in this world, and none of them will be lost. Christ came to do these things. He not only came to do them, he has done them. John chapter 17 and verse 4, Jesus speaks to that in prayer, that in that upper room on that night that he was betrayed, before he was crucified. In his prayer on that night, Jesus said to the Father, John 17, 4, "I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do." John chapter 19, in verse 30, the next day on the cross, he declared, "It is finished." Isaiah 61 describes the good news of the Messiah, a mission which used words that we can feel. Look at verses 1 through 3. It prophesied the words that will be spoken by God's Messiah 800 years later. To this verse 1 of Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of God, that he may be glorified." And 700 to 800 years later, Jesus spoke these words in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 22. "So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the books, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So all bore witness with him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" Luke wrote that before that encounter was over, the synagogue crowd turned into a lynch mob and tried to kill him. And why was that? Well, because Jesus was reading a passage that everyone in that place knew referred to the prophesied Messiah. And then he basically said, that Messiah that Isaiah spoke of, you're looking at him. The text that Jesus used that day in Nazareth, Isaiah 61, prophesied his mission. Verse 1 gives the foundation of the ministry. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor." By the way, the statement, "The Spirit of the Lord God is on me," is also a great witness to the Trinity. This is his purpose. Jesus has good news for those who are poor, literally humble, lowly, needy, afflicted. God looks for those who have been passed over, the outcasts who realize that they need someone. He comes for those who know they're sick, not for those who think that they're well. He has good news for those who realize just how desperately they need a Savior. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Notice how Isaiah says the anointed one of God would do this. First, he will repair the damaged. Look at the third part of verse 1. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Isaiah spoke to some people who were about to see their nation collapse. The temple would be demolished. Everything they knew would be gone. Would God help? Does he care about what I'm going through? The message of Isaiah is, he will be there to repair the wounds of your heart. He cares. He knows what you're going through, and he'll be there for you as well. On a spiritual level, Isaiah's message speaks to those who are broken over their sin. Can God forgive me? Will he accept me if he knows what I've been doing, been saying, been thinking? Well, the answer is yes. Second, he will release the captured, the fourth part of that first verse. "He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. For the people of Judah, the impending deportation because of enemy invasion meant living as slaves to a foreign pagan power. You have no will, no say, no vote. You are under the absolute control of another." And spiritually, this speaks of captivity of sin. God's word says that without Jesus Christ, we're all slaves to Satan as a result of our sin. But not anymore. And third, he will restore the wasted. The first part of verse 2. He has sent me to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The year of the Lord's favor is a reference to the year of Jubilee. The provision of the law was that every 50th year, all the slaves were to be set free. All debts were canceled, and all land sold or taken for debt was returned. It would be like having all your credit cards paid off, your mortgage canceled, and your debts settled. The year of Jubilee was an Old Testament picture of salvation through Christ. When a Christian is saved, he's set free from his sins. His sin debt is canceled. From the devil to whom he'd been enslaved, and from his sinful nature. When the Lord begins to restore the years that were had squandered through sin. Or I should say, the Lord begins to restore the years that we had squandered through sin. Let me ask you, what has life been like for you? Maybe it's been so hard that you've wondered what the point of it all was. It could be recent tragedies or trials that feel so heavy, it's hard to imagine any good thing coming your way. Whatever your experience, Jesus makes the same offer he's made to so many others. In Matthew 11:28, he said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Listen, he is ready to restore what's been taken away. He's ready to set you free from the slavery of sin. He's ready to heal your brokenness. Will you take his offer?